Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Jano Cohen, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Philadelphia, and she has an extensive background in Tai Chi and dance, injury recovery, and also she has worked for 25 years as a therapeutic masseuse. And we're going to be talking today about how the Alexander Technique can be useful for massage therapists. Jano, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Robert.
Well, it's good to have you on the show. And I wonder if you could begin by giving our listeners who may not be familiar with the Alexander Technique a very short description of it.
Sure. I would say that the Alexander Technique is a form of movement re-education, meaning it's a process that people can learn to use to pay attention to how they're moving, how they're using their bodies, and make some changes in the direction of less tension, better postural alignment as they're moving, more efficient use of their muscles, better balance, all of that. Alexander discovered that people tend to override their natural reflexes and their coordination by tensing up muscles and distorting their spines.
Mm-hmm. And so for people who do massage for a living, what would be some factors that they might want to think of in terms of what would you say are some ways that the Alexander Technique can be particularly helpful for someone who does massage?
Well, practicing massage is a kind of athletic endeavor that requires good body mechanics. And in a lot of massage training programs, they do teach people how to use their bodies well, but not to such a detailed, a sophisticated way that the Alexander Technique offers. Mm-hmm. What's important is often to be grounded as you're working, which means that your body weight is actually passing into the ground without being cantilevered forward awkwardly, having to use external muscles too much to work. So if you're balancing on your feet and your weight's moving downward properly, you can apply the right amount of pressure as you're doing work. Mm-hmm. You also don't twist your body if you align yourself well, organizing yourself around your centrals, your torso, your spine, and making sure your head is leading a lengthening of your spine into the movement you're making. Because what happens is a lot of times people just throw their hands forward onto somebody. Meanwhile, their head is pushed back and maybe thrust over to one side because they're looking at the body part or something. And then they get all twisted inside, and they can easily overuse certain muscles in their bodies when they do that, like their shoulders or their neck, and twist things so that they can injure themselves, especially if they do a sudden movement.
Mm-hmm. What I see, having worked with massage therapists from time to time, is, as you say, that kind of overuse of arm, shoulder, hand muscles, and not using their body weight to produce a large part of the pressure.
Right. Then their arms and muscles have to do all the work.
Right.
If you really allow your whole body to be behind each movement that you make, it's a lot less effort.
Exactly. And I found that massage therapists are pretty amazed when they discover that, because as I'm sure you know, I mean, you've been a massage therapist for over 25 years. There's a pretty high burnout rate in that profession.
Well, there is. And actually, that 25 years is past, Robert, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
I stopped working as a masseuse in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But 25 years, you know, was a long time. There's a lot of wear and tear that's possible in those amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
And you really can save your hands by using your body more. But also, the torquing in your body is more injurious than people notice. When people sit at a computer for hours a day and they wonder why their neck and their shoulders hurt, It's because they weren't paying attention. And it can really accumulate to quite a distortion that leads to a lot of pain. And that can happen with massage work. Because if a massage person works, say, 4 to 8 hours a day, that's a lot of use of the same muscles over and over again. And if they're not being used properly, it can really lead to quite a pain syndrome.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot. And I guess another aspect of it is that, well, I can think of two other aspects, and I'm sure you could think of more, but one of them would be that as a massage therapist, one of the things you want to be is sensitive to what's going on in the body of the person you're working with. And if you're overusing your arms and hands and wrists and so on, it's going to make it very difficult for you to get that kind of information. Could you say something about that as well?
Absolutely. So often when people are tense, their muscles, the joints in their hands and their muscles are stiff, and they can't what we call hear. They can't listen for what's going on in somebody else's body. And also the person who's being touched reacts to that kind of tense touching by stiffening.
Yes.
And so there's a lack of movement back and forth between the practitioner and the recipient. So what happens when people get help with Alexander technique, there's an improved flow in their body. You know, once your neck starts moving and the rest of your body's following that, there's a beautiful flow of movement that's much more organic and much softer and more sensual. And so when people touch someone else that way, they receive that soft, sensual touch, and they're able to relax more, and the practitioner can hear more, can actually listen deeper into the body. When there's a sort of a block or an armoring in the body, it's harder for a practitioner to know what's going on. But with their hands, they can sort of penetrate that armor with gentleness that people receive without even, before they know it, they're already releasing and following.
Yeah, and exactly. Because if you're creating tension in your own body, that's being immediately transferred to your client.
Exactly.
And as you said, the reaction is to tense against that, and then it could end up, and I've seen this happen, be a bit of a vicious cycle that so your client tenses and you feel like you have to add more tension to overcome that.
Absolutely. You have to try harder.
You have to try harder, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And exactly. And maybe you could talk about this as well, but again, in my experience, when massage therapists have some experience with the Alexander technique, one of the things they find is, in general, they just don't have to work so hard to get the same, in fact, better results.
Exactly.
And they don't have to apply as much pressure because it's more clearly directed, I guess you could say. Or maybe you could. How would you describe that?
I would say it's even more targeted. It's
yes.
more. It's a smarter touch. You put your hand on a shoulder joint, for example, and an Alexander technique teacher is specifically trained to really listen in for the real details of anatomy. And I think massage practitioners these days are. When I trained, there was no training. I was actually just self-taught and did sort of apprentice style learning. But now there are, pretty sophisticated certification programs out there. But in those days, there wasn't much anatomy and so forth. But if an Alexander teacher can help you really feel the difference between what a really tense attachment to a muscle is versus where the bone's sticking out, then you can very gently move your fingers more specifically to the direction that the attachment needs to go. Listen in with your whole listening body, and the movement, the change takes place almost miraculously. So practitioners can really do more specific movement work with their, stroking with their hands, and also feel more what's going on. And an Alexander teacher just helps hone that skill. So it's a great marriage of work.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that I've seen a lot with massage therapists is that they tend to lose their awareness on themselves, and it pretty much all goes into their client.
Oh,
And
yeah.
Alexander teachers in our training, one of the things that may not always be explicitly put this way, but when you think of an Alexander teacher working with a student, and if you asked the teacher who's the most important person in the room, from the point of view of what's going on, really the answer is the teacher, because it's their self-organization that's the thing that's being transferred. And if they're not looking after themselves, if they're just all out there on their student,
Yeah.
you're not going to get a useful teaching process.
Yeah.
And I think there's a pretty perfect analogy with massage, that if you're a massage therapist and you naturally want to help your clients, that certainly that's perfectly understandable. But I found that for massage therapists to really get that they're looking after themselves as they do a massage is the most important thing, and that everything else kind of flows from that. That's a gigantic revelation for at least the people I've worked with. Would you like to say something about that or add to that?
Well, I would say that that's true, but I also say what's true about the Alexander technique is true about massage is that I would just phrase it a little bit differently, that it's a partnership, and that of course the client is contributing to this partnership. Their whole being is part of the story, but the practitioner, in order to help the person, must be the best they can be. But also for themselves, because you do not need to give up yourself. This is a boundary issue for another person. That it's important that whatever you do in life, that you are standing your own ground, that you are caring for yourself, and it's a modeling for for the other person you're with. But it's also a way to join them and meet them as a full self. If you completely degrade your own body and forget about your own self while you're working with somebody else, that is not really helping them. That is not bringing them into the world in a better way. So it's ultimately healing for both practitioner and recipient to have a massage go on. And the Alexander technique can really bring those people into that better relationship, because the massage practitioner is moving better and joining the person rather than giving up their boundaries. And this often carries over. As Alexander said, he's teaching people a use of themselves. It's not just a body work. The way you think about yourself really comes across to the other person. And when people come to practitioners, they often have transference issues, emotional from their parenting, or maybe they're in a job or somebody's really dominating them or whatever, and they come to expect this kind of thing from a person of authority. Well, an Alexander technique teacher is not a separate authority. This person is a person who's coming in offering a facility but not dominating the other person. And it's sort of teaching the other person that they can come to the table too as a partnership in a safe way, and in one where there's less and less tension there, where most people are more and more open, and they are connecting to one another in a what I want to say, a flowing, organic way that does not require force, that does not require manipulation, domineering.
Is there anything else that you would like to say that would be useful for either massage therapists to hear or people who are having massages that would be relevant to add to our conversation?
Well, sure. Let me go backwards to
Sure.
massage recipients, because I've discovered that people who study Alexander technique with me, and myself included, receive massage differently than other people do. That
Yes,
you can actually learn about your own body and movement by receiving a massage, and not just sort of go to sleep and you know, feel like you've had something done to you and then forget about it. You actually can uncover your own process of self-discovery through massage if you're looking at it in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other, let me see, what was the second part?
Well, just to elaborate on that, I mean, yes. if you've had some Alexander experience and you're having a massage, you can consciously direct yourself to receive the good part of the massage.
Absolutely. I mean, you can use your Alexander directions,
you
too.
You can use your Alexander directions, and and so the actual massage experience will be very different if you're doing that. And I would also say, as someone who has massages, that you become a lot better at choosing a good masseuse or massage therapist,
yes.
because you'll start to notice right away, oh, this person seems to bring a lot of internal tension to the process, whereas this person has more, you could almost say, softer hands or more listening hands. And I think most people would go for the latter.
Exactly. And, you know, you can feel that whole presence as soon as the person walks in the room.
Absolutely.
Massage practitioner who's got good body use is going to be much more pleasant to be with as soon as you walk in the room.
Yes, absolutely.
So that it feels easier to be with that person and safer to be touched.
Yeah. And you had a second point you wanted to make.
Yeah, the second point was just a couple of details because I've noticed that this happens with other professions, that when people use their hands, there's two ways to use your hand. One is for the energy to go out, which is what we want, and the other is for people to pull their hands back into their wrists and their arms into their shoulders. So very specifically, a massage practitioner can change the direction of their movement in a very fundamental way and avoid injury. And that's just something that can be applied to playing a musical instrument and to anything that a massage practitioner is doing. And so what I do when I work with a massage practitioner or anybody else who has some kind of difficult occupation is I point out to them that when they're not practicing massage is some of the most important time to work on themselves to improve their skills as a massage practitioner.
So Absolutely.
So sitting at a computer and typing, this is important time to work on your arm and hand use, driving a car, you know, and there's just... It's something that you take a responsibility to change your whole way of being in yourself through your life and not just when you're practicing massage.
Right. It's not going to work so well, I think, if you think, well, I'm just going to apply my Alexander thinking to massage. It really kind of needs to be something you bring into, as you say, every aspect of your life, at least a bit from time to time.
Exactly. And then there's just one more point I have,
which
is that because massage is so strenuous to do, the more you can conserve your energy, the better.
Yeah.
And it really is easier when you are adding tension to your work. It takes more energy and more effort. And that actually the more grounded and the more aligned you are, the more you get your focus on your movement, the less energy it takes to do a stroke. And so you can withstand a longer day of work. And I used to get myself in trouble because that would be true. And so I'd say, oh, well, then I'll just add more hours on the day. And
yeah.
So you kind of have to watch yourself. But it is very, very true that you can save your energy with this work. Without a doubt.
Absolutely. Well, maybe this would be a good place to bring our conversation to a close. My guest today has been Jan O'Cohen, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Philadelphia. She has an extensive background in massage, although she doesn't work in that field anymore. If anything that we've been talking about appeals to you, and you live in the Philadelphia area, we'll put a link to her website by the interview. And if you live anywhere else in the world, we'll put a link to a site where you can locate an Alexander technique teacher in your area. Jano, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Robert, thank you so much for having me, and I hope people really do find a way to find an Alexander Technique teacher to get help for themselves.
Give it a try. Even if you just have a couple of lessons, it might totally transform the way you work. Anyway, thank you so much, Jano.
Bye-bye, Robert.
Bye-bye.